Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
You know who the best looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good looking.
Pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
You are listening to the world's greatest political podcast. My name's Jeff. Joining me this week, Tiffany Stack Bell.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good.
I am fucking exhausted. I'm gonna do my best to keep my energy up for the show, but I'm so tired. My eyes are watering.
Oh, I just woke up from a nap.
Show off. No, that's cool. I took a nap a few hours ago. Just snuck up on me.
Yeah.
I was like, I got to get out of this office chair because my office chair is old enough that it's starting to murder me. And
not very comfortable for you.
No, and I went and laid down for a minute to kind of stretch my back out and woke up an hour and a half later, which was cool. It was nice. I fell asleep listening to a podcast, Dear Hank and John.
Oh, you did? I thought you were watching a game.
No. It was Hank Green with Brendan Lee Mulligan.
That's right. I heard his voice.
Yeah. And it was a show. It's 3 years old.
Oh, is it really that old?
Yeah. I had to dig way back in the archives to find it.
Oh, wow.
But I saw on TikTok a little interview snippet from that show.
Uh-huh.
And I think that show, it could have been something else, but it was basically Hank talking to Brendan Lee Mulligan and me going, oh, I would like to hear those two talk to one another.
Yeah.
So...
Huh, are they fans of Dropout?
Actually, we watched, I don't know if you remember or not, but Hank Green, John Green's little brother, but Hank Green did a little 1 hour comedy special about his cancer on Dropout. So
did I watch that?
Yeah, you watched it with me.
Oh my gosh, I have no recollection of that at all.
It was funny, but it was more meaningful. Yeah. And to be honest, it was a little later in the evening and you probably fell asleep.
Probably. I'm sure I fell asleep.
Yeah. But no, the Hank Green and the Dropout gang are simpatico. They seem to know each other pretty well.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, if any parts of my fandoms cross over, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a very good one because I do appreciate the Green family quite a bit. And I really, really love Dropout, and I'm a fan of Brendan Lee Mulligan.
I know, he's so funny.
He is very funny.
Good.
I don't know. So, we got a lot to talk about this week, but for some reason, I feel like we need to play catch up. Tomorrow, on Tuesday, instead of the world's greatest comic book podcast, we're going to have an episode of I Told You So.
What?
Yeah. We're going to...
Holy moly.
We're going to have that ready for you guys, including Patreon. Patreon, you say? Yeah, Patreon. Even after this show, we're going to record a special segment for Patreon. Every week that we record special content for our Patreon fans that you can get to for a low, low cost.
Patreon is my favorite because I don't really have to filter myself in Patreon.
It's true. It's true. But we don't filter ourselves very much in Patreon. And then the straight up warning that I always give when we slim down and there's only two of us. I don't know if this is going to go the whole hour, or I don't know if it's going to be short or not. And then I say that, and then it goes longer than an hour. But we'll see how today goes, because I got errands to run, and then I can just lay down and go to sleep. No, I can't. I have homework.
Do have errands to run. I totally forgot about our errands.
Yeah, you took a nap. That almost...
Oh, my God. This, like, just ruined my whole day.
Did it?
Well, it didn't ruin it, but it just has made it very complicated.
It's made it not complicated. We've got till 7.
Okay. Just a very important errand.
That's true. That's true. But hey, how cool is it that the dispensary is open this late? On a Sunday.
On a Sunday. Oh my God. Can't buy booze, but you can buy weed.
Weird. So we had a fun... So we're in not quite rural Utah, but I would at least say we were still in small town.
Very much small town.
Yeah. I think the fastest speed limit in town is 35.
35. Yeah. And most places it's 25, which is wild.
Yeah. And most everybody behaves.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah. I did. I got tailgated. The speed limit out here in the street in front of the house is 30 all the way into town. And all the way out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I was going 35, 37 maybe, because it's hard to drive 30 miles an hour. I had some lady just ride up my bits. Just ride on there. So I just let off the gas and I slowed down to 20.
Oh, good for you.
Yep. And this dude in a giant truck next to me, you know, who had been encroaching on me but was in another lane, realized what I was doing and slowed down with me. Looked over and gave me a thumbs up.
That's awesome.
Nobody likes a tailgater.
No.
Nobody. Except the person tailgating.
It's so dangerous.
Oh, it's very dangerous. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I have been accused of whatever the opposite of tailgating is when you change lanes too close in front of someone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I have a problem with that, but I have made some passengers uncomfortable with my lane changes.
Your lane changes are very
abrupt.
Abrupt, but I find them, I like them. I like the way you drive.
I drive with purpose.
You drive aggressively, and I appreciate that.
I'm not aggressive.
Yes, you are.
Am I?
Yeah, because
am I dangerous?
No, you're not dangerous. There's a difference, but you are aggressive because when the light turns green, you are on the gas going to the speed limit that you can maintain.
Yeah.
There's no like just slowing down for a red light. You like hit that red light going the full speed of the speed limit.
I don't run red lights.
You don't run red lights, but you don't even slow down until you're like stopped.
Oh, I see. Well, I mean, the purpose of getting somewhere is to get somewhere.
I hear you, and that's why I appreciate you.
And I don't, when I'm in a red light, I very rarely, very, very rarely look at my cell phone when I'm in a red light. You know, unless it's a familiar light and I know how much time I have. There was a light up by the old apartment that if you didn't make the turn signal, you had 4 minutes before your signal came back around. And times like that, I would pick up the phone and let you know I was on my way home. You know, or like that, check an email from a noise that I got or something, you know, but nothing long. Put it down long before the light changes. I have a huge pet peeve about people that are late on lights because they're busy looking at their fucking phones. Honestly, one of the most liberating times in my life was when I worked for Salt Lake City. We had a rule that you could not drive a city car and touch your phone at the same time. You get in that car, your phone is off.
As it should be.
Right. And I loved it. I loved it so very much that I may or may not have inferred to a couple of people in my life that I could not touch the phone when I was in the car. There's no reason to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a red light, you can pick a new song.
Yeah.
Otherwise, leave it the fuck alone.
Well, that's why I forget to text you on my way home from places, because I get in the car and start driving, and then I can't text you.
Yeah. You're supposed to text me before you start driving.
I know, but I always forget until I'm driving.
Ah.
You know.
I'd offer to call and remind you, but I don't know what time you're leaving.
Exactly.
That is. It's a weird news week this week. Lots of goofy shit going on. I think that mainstream and traditional media have covered the destruction of the East Wing of the White House enough that I don't need to weigh in other than to say he's breaking the law, because in order to make changes to a historic building, you have to go through the proper channels, and he's just like, fuck it, and he just tore it down. And that pisses me off. There's a lot of history in the East Wing, including the bunker. The presidential bunker is underneath the East Wing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's where he hid out when the George Floyd protests were out in front of the White House. He ran down to the bunker.
Oh, goodness.
I guess that was back, what, 2020? 2021?
I don't know.
One of those there was a lot of people out front. It was the one where he said he wanted the military and the Secret Service to shoot protesters in the leg. And they tear gassed the shit out of the neighborhood and cleared it over so he could go and stand in front of the church and hold the Bible upside down.
Right. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. He was in the bunker for the day and a half before that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Bark, 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 bark. A bunker is in case of a nuclear war or an invasion. And he's like, protesters! Oh, no!
Protesters in chicken costumes? What shall we do?
I know. As you guys heard at the top of the show, that little rendition of the Muppets song, that was out of Portland. That was the Portland gang singing to the ice folks hiding behind their fence wearing their masks. I also saw a little piece of video where a lady tugged down the mask of an ice guy and he punched her in the head. Poof. Like, oh, I'm so sorry that you're so chicken shit. You'll punch a woman in the face.
I know.
It's disgusting.
We were going to talk about this later on the show, too.
Yes, we are. But in the meantime, Speaker Mike Johnson is getting sued by the Arizona Attorney General for refusing to seat Aralita Gravalia, who got elected almost a month ago now, if not more than a month ago, to fill a seat in the House. What he has bullshitted so far, he said, the Pelosi principle, where he can wait up to 25 days because that's how long she waited to swear in one of his guys when she was speaker. But that was because it was that guy's schedule.
Right.
He wanted friends and family in.
It was a request.
Yeah.
They wait.
And they had their special election here about 2 months ago and got their guy in about 24 hours. And Johnson said that the reason he did that was because he brought his family and friends with him. And so, Grijalva, Aralita Grijalva, I believe. She put out a little TikTok video saying, okay, so if I bring my family and friends out, we can get this done? Because she is the 218th vote to release the Epstein files. Yeah. And Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House of Representatives, Republican, and so-called Christian, American Christian.
Yeah, that's the thing, huh?
Yeah, he's an American Christian. He follows American Jesus. Mm-hmm. And GOP Jesus is an asshole.
The worst.
He is full of all of the sin that Christians pretend they give a shit about. It's quite disgusting. So anyway, yeah, Mike Johnson said he will administer the oath of office. She was elected in September, and he said that he'll do it as soon as Democrats vote to reopen the government. So he is holding hostage. He's protecting pedophiles in his own party. I mean, how many times are they going to pop up and say, Bill Clinton's in there, and we're like...
Good.
Super. Release the files.
Let's see it.
Let him go.
Yeah.
We're all ready. But I'm interested to see how this one's going to play out.
Well, what is really his, just to delay it, because, right? Because it's inevitable once they swear her in, right?
Yep. Yep, it is.
So are they just hoping that this will just go away, like Trump has hoped for so long?
I have a feeling what's happening is that the Republican half is whipping those few members, I think it's three, that have voted for, it's fucking, well, Green is one. I think Nancy Mace is the other one. And then there's one more. And those are the ones that are helping with the tip to get to 218. And so there's no doubt in my mind that what they're doing while they have this delay, while they're refusing to swear Gravalia in, is they're just putting pressure on those guys until they don't need it anymore.
Yeah, I don't see Green changing her stance on that, though. She's like so passionate about her stance with the Epstein files.
Yep. Our other big piece of kickoff news was that officials in ICE have scrubbed the data showing that U.S. citizens have been swept up in immigration arrests. Florida's immigration crackdown dashboard reportedly showed the arrests of 21 U.S. citizens until a local paper asked questions. And then they erased it.
Of course they did.
This is the state and the governor Ron DeSantis, who fired a lady for telling the truth on a scientific report during COVID. She was the one that was collecting and disseminating all the information, and she put it out, and it was not a number that he liked, and so he fired her. And so she sued him, and I believe she ran for office, but I think she was unsuccessful in her run. Jake Lang, one of the shitheads that was pardoned by President Donald Trump for his role in January 6th. I don't know why the paper is saying alleged. He was convicted.
Right.
He was given a pardon. But anyway, his role in the January 6th insurrection is now running for U.S. Senate in, guess where? Florida. Mm-hmm. And said his first act, if elected, would involve deputizing a known hate group to go after undocumented immigrants. He said he would deputize the Proud Boys and the January 6th Patriots to bounty hunt illegal immigrants. Bounty hunt.
That's insane.
I could take him. I'm looking at him right now.
I know.
I could kick the shit out of this kid.
Doesn't he just look obnoxious? Just his face alone.
That's a punchable face. Yeah. That is the face of an alleged Nazi. And when I see a Nazi, I turn into G.I. Robot. Nazis. But that is, I mean, it's just nuts, man. We would offer a bounty and work with local sheriffs and deputize and give legal access to be able to have these people join en masse and be able to work alongside federal law enforcement to provide tips, to provide information, and to go out and make the arrests of these illegal immigrants. Whereas, when asked about illegal immigrants this week, I believe it was the mayor of Chicago that refused to answer the question as long as it was couched that way. And the reporter's like, well, that's the legal term. And the guy said, you know, the legal term for my people used to be slave. We're not going to go back to that. We're going to treat these people like human beings. Mm. Loved that.
Yeah.
Loved that. Were it not for my complete adoration of the Muppets and my inability to find a good sounding clip of him saying that is the reason we got the Rainbow Connection at the beginning of the show and not something else. But that's just what it is. And so finally for this segment, Donald Trump canceled trade talks with Canada because whatever you call them, the Lord Governor or fucking Duke or Earl or some shit of Canada up in, I believe it was Ontario. I don't know what they call their elected officials up there.
I don't either.
Yeah. Prime ministers. Mm-hmm. Doughboys. I don't know. But so anyway, the government of Ontario put out an ad about tariffs with a sound clip of Ronald Reagan doing a radio address from the mid 80s in which he talked about how stupid tariffs were.
Yeah.
It is real. I remember it. We studied it. We didn't study it, but we went over it in school, you know, when I was taking my political science classes. You know, when you come up to tariffs, then that was one of the arguments that they used was Reagan's argument. At the time, it pissed me off.
Yeah.
Because I hate Reagan.
He's the worst.
No, he's still the worst. Absolutely the worst. You know, but he's like, tariffs are good for a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. They're not good for a long time. And so Trump called the Reagan sound clip, he called them fake. He called them AI.
Yes.
They were not AI.
No.
No.
He was upset. Well, they did say that they were upset that it was taken out of context as well.
You know what? If you go and listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
In context.
Yeah.
Absolutely in context.
Well, he's censoring other countries now.
Yeah. Yeah. Here we go. Here's the quote. High tariffs inevitably lead to retaliation by foreign countries and the triggering of fierce trade wars. Then the worst happens. Markets shrink and collapse. Businesses and industries shut down and millions of people lose their jobs. That's what's happening.
Yes.
Right now. We're going to take a break. We get back on the other side. More news.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, we remember Diane Keaton, Drew Struzan, Penelope Milford, and Ace Frehley. Tinseltown, is Jenna Ortega in Star Wars?
Oh, I hope so.
Is Stephen Colbert in Star Trek?
Good question.
Is Peacemaker getting a third season?
I don't want to say.
We watched Peacemaker, Beautiful Creatures, High Potential, House of Guinness, Alien Earth, Picard Season 3, The Center Seat, Discovery Season 1, and Fantastic Four, the early years. In comics, will Marvel's Ultimate Universe end again? Why did Ubisoft cancel the latest Assassin's Creed?
No good reason.
What is the exciting imprint returning to DC Comics? We review Return to Planet Hulk, They Choose Violence, Captain America number 4, Time Waits, Daredevil number 25, Kill All Immortals 2, number 1, The Mortal Thor, Wonder Woman number 25, Absolute Wonder Woman, and Project Hail Mary.
That's a lot of reading we did.
All that in Star Trek excitement. Face Front, True Believers, it's the world's greatest comic book podcast. Available every Tuesday. Comicbookpodcast.com and pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts.
You guys know what the difference is between a genealogist and a gynecologist?
I'm a little afraid of what you're about to say.
I'm a little afraid to finish. One looks up the family tree. I don't know how you trigger a 25th Amendment solution, but we ended the last segment with Trump. This whole segment is about Trump. My apologies, but he makes news every fucking day. Every fucking day. Mm-hmm. It's rarely good news.
No, it's always so stupid, too.
Yeah.
There's always such stupidness in there.
But the guy has obviously lost control of any semblance of linear thought.
Yeah.
Because you're right. He gets on a teleprompter. And he's sleepy, and he's tired, and he's boring. And then he'll add to his speeches that he's given to try and make himself sound a little smarter, which always makes him sound a little dumber.
So dumb.
And crazy, and demented, by which I mean as a person having dementia, and nothing against Dr. Demento. But he's delusional. He's lost. He has Most of the time, he's got no idea where he is or who the fuck he's talking to.
Or what he's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets a little crazy.
Well, you know what it feels like sometimes is when I did debate, one of the exercises that we would do is we were given a topic and then you had to stand up, you know, and talk about whatever it is for 2 minutes, 5 minutes. I feel like he does that. He just throws in random stupid shit that has no context.
Stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I don't know, structured speech. Saying something that's got something to do with why you're up there to say something in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know. It's as an enemy of the state, I guess. It's apparently not my reason to try and understand why Republicans are just so willing to sell out their country for a little bit of power. Because they've lost their fucking minds. They're out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the whole bit about Mike Johnson, really, it's all he's doing is pulling a Mitch McConnell and just delaying something that really has no business being delayed. And there's no constitutional precedent for it. You know, he blames the Pelosi principle. That's not a thing. It is to your dipshit followers and those people that believe words that you say, you fucking idiot. But this is where we are. I know I can't do anything about it. When 7 to 8 million people turn out for a protest against a guy, and all the guy does is lean into the reason that they're protesting by putting out the video of him in a crown, in a jet, pouring poop on protesters.
So presidential.
Yeah. Tell me again about what was wrong with the tan suit.
Yeah. God.
And how you guys have found no equivalence. The guy wore a tan suit. Obama wore a tan suit. He looked like a million fucking bucks. Dipshit in a red tie puts out a video of himself wearing a crown like a king and pouring shit on the American people that disagree with him and saying that we ought to be shot and we ought to be jailed and we ought to be deported and we ought to have our citizenship stripped. You know, he wants to send us all to El Salvador because we don't like him.
We're mean. We talk mean about him. Say mean things.
Yeah, I mean,
feelings.
To the thinnest skinned guy on the planet? Are you kidding me? This is a guy that's running for office because Seth Meyers made fun of him at a dinner.
Yeah, that was the best.
Was it my favorite line from that was it's like Trump out there, yada, yada, you know, says he's in great with the blacks. But if the blacks aren't a white family, I don't know what he's talking about.
I mean, the brilliant thing about that was that he just kept going with the jokes. It wasn't just one and done.
Oh, yeah.
He just kept laying them on, and Trump, you could tell, was not happy.
No, because he's got no fucking sense of humor.
No, and you have to be able to laugh at yourself in those situations. Like, come on.
I would love for Seth Meyer to roast me.
I know, right?
Yes. I know, it'd be great. I think Roy Wood Jr. would be fun, too. Stephen Colbert roasting Trump or Bush was brilliant.
Michelle Wolf. Michelle Wolf. I really liked her at the correspondence dinner, too.
She was good. Her whole bit on Sarah Huckabee Sanders was brilliant because the truth is she did not say a mean thing.
Right.
She ended up giving her two or three compliments. And you know, she didn't mean them, but they were trying to argue about how mean she was with what she said. And when you read it on the page, it was so innocuous. It was just so innocent, you know, but everything she gave with a tone. Now, I like Michelle Wolf a lot. We watched her last special last week.
Yeah, we did.
It was pretty good. Her latest special.
Yeah, I didn't realize that she had a kid.
Yeah, just recently.
I didn't realize she was as old as she is. I thought she was like way younger.
Yeah. She does look way younger. But no, she's in her 40s.
Yeah. It's wild.
It is wild. Okay. So there's Twitter, which none of us use anymore because fuck that guy. And then there's Threads, which I feel dirty when I use because of the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that guy. And then there's this other alternative called Blue Sky. And Blue Sky, is pretty comfortable to be a lefty in, I must admit. And one of the reasons I don't do a lot of blue sky is because I do like to step out of my echo chamber, and hear what the opposition is saying about me and mine. And in addition, there just seems to be a lot more pretty girls in little clothes on Threads than there are on Blue Sky.
You do like pretty girls in little clothes.
I am a man of simple tastes. That's what I am. But Blue Sky, so Blue Sky, you know, it's a pretty big deal. They've got a few million users at this point. But the Trump White House decided to join Blue Sky. It's a decentralized social media platform that became a haven for Donald Trump's MAGA critics and the political left after Elon Musk took over Twitter. But the White House's debut went a little awkward.
How was that?
The administration's first post, a 52-second montage of what it called the president's greatest hits since returning to the Oval Office, featured some of his mocking online posts and boasts about making America great again, was met with mockery, equal trolling, and demands for the release of the Epstein files. According to Blue Sky Analytics, the official White House account quickly became the platform's second most blocked profile.
Do you know who the first blocked? This is the best.
Who is it?
J.D. Vance.
Yes! With around 95,000 users smashing the block button to preempt their feeds with being filled with AI slop and divisive rants. The only account with more blocks, there it is, on the platform is Vice President J.D. Vance, who's been blocked more than 167,000 times.
And what's so interesting about these numbers is that, well, on Blue Sky, they only have like 11,000 followers.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yep. So anyway, the post said, what's up, Blue Sky? We thought you might have missed some of our greatest hits, so we put this together for you. Can't wait to spend more quality time together.
Ew. Okay. That made me like, ugh.
That does feel a little icky, doesn't it?
It feels so gross. Because
you can hear the tone of a creepy uncle.
Yep.
Saying that. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, as of early Monday, the White House's account only had 11,500 followers, which is pretty fucking hilarious, to be completely honest. Donald Trump was going to meet with Vladimir Putin, and Vladimir said, "Nyet." That's Russian for no.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just so you know. Said no. Just said no. We're not meeting. He keeps telling Trump that they're close to a ceasefire and then blowing up more apartment buildings. So Trump got his panties in a wad about it and ended up putting some sanctions on a couple of oil companies in Russia, which, let's face it, the oil companies in Russia do not need more sanctions. They have plenty as it is. And you know, we've also been very lecturesome to European countries that keep buying Russian gas. I don't know why. We're about to take over Venezuela. They got plenty of oil. Maybe we can just ship that to Europe. I don't know. But yeah, there's no plans for Trump to meet with Putin in the immediate future, despite Trump's recent claim that the two would hold talks in Budapest. The meeting had been announced last week, but a date had not been set. The announcement came after calls between U.S. Secretary of State Rubio and Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov. The White House official told Reuters that the call was productive. And Rubio and Lavrov have no plans to meet in person.
It sounds productive.
It's just, you know, it feels like you get Trump moving in a non-self-destructive direction, you know, where he was talking about needing to help Ukraine and considering the option of selling them Sidewinder missiles, which they desperately need, even though they're long-range missiles. And then he got on the phone with Putin and turned around and took it all back. Like in the course of 2 days, two news cycles. Cause Putin's got something on him. I think the Steele dossier is a lot more true than anybody gives it credit for, you know, but while we're working on international issues, Trump also wants to double the size of ICE.
Well, that's not problematic at all.
No, not at all. By hiring and deploying 10,000 new agents by January, the move has lost a bit of steam because so many of the new recruits showing up to ISIS Training Academy in Georgia can't pass the physical fitness test.
Oh, God.
The test requires recruits to do 15 push-ups, 32 sit-ups, and run 1.5 miles in 14 minutes.
I know. I'm like, this isn't even like the presidential fitness test. This is even easier.
I can do the push-ups. I can do the sit-ups. Slowly. Let's be honest. I don't know if I could run 1.5 miles in 14 minutes or not, but I also know that I'm woefully out of shape and that joining ICE would be a bad idea.
Exactly.
Yep. It's pathetic. One career ICE officer told The Atlantic, noting that the academy's standards have already been watered down significantly to boost recruitment. The Atlantic also reported that earlier this month, ICE headquarters sent an email to top officials complaining about, quote, a considerable amount of athletically allergic candidates who had misrepresented their physical condition on application forms.
Gasp. It is so dangerous. I mean, they're not getting the proper training. You know, they're just trying to get numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, they got big tubs of guts running around there. What is it? Meal Team 6. Meal Team 6. The Gravy Seals. But yeah, the recruits who were failing the fitness test aren't getting booted. Instead, those who don't qualify for other jobs are being assigned administrative tasks while they wait for ISIS Human Resources to whip up their pink slips.
So are they still getting the money?
Yeah. Yep. I don't know if they're getting the bonus, the signing bonus that you get after, I think it was like 6 months or a year,
mm-hmm.
but they're still getting paid.
That's crazy.
Well, yeah. But yeah, on Tuesday, Donald Trump said he got extremely angry after someone on television suggested he was only the third best president of the United States. What?
You.
Yeah, the admission came during an absolute word salad of a speech to GOP senators in the White House Rose. They want to call it a garden. It's a fucking patio now.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Trump's comments in full here. Oh, this was hard. So we did the presidential walk of fame from the great George Washington all the way to, well, I think we have to rate him above me. So less than great, less than George. Somebody went up the other day. They say, you're the third best president in the United. This was on television. Third best. And they said, who were the first two? George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. And I got extremely angry at this man. You know, you can't. Fuck me. It's so hard to read this shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be tough to beat Mr. Senator. It's going to be tough to beat John. It's going to be tough to beat Washington and Lincoln, but we're going to give it a try. Hey, they didn't put out 8 wars, 9 coming. All right. We put out 8 wars and the 9th is coming. Believe it or not. I do not believe it because at least one of the wars you broke up wasn't real. It wasn't real. And the two prime ministers of those countries were at the UN making fucking jokes about Trump and the war they weren't having.
There's like no shame or embarrassment.
No, which is another reason why I think that the 25th Amendment needs to kick in. Because at some point, I'd be embarrassed.
Oh.
I mean, it took a month, but we got Joe Biden embarrassed about his debate performance.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. All right, let's take another little break. When we get back on the other side, less Trump, but more Trump government. Well, it's hard to do news about Democrats when they don't do anything. Just as an aside, as we come to break,
mm-hmm.
Hakeem Jeffries finally got around to endorsing Mamdani
mm-hmm.
in New York, at which point AIPAC, one of the members, the high-ranking members of AIPAC, put out a thing saying, okay, no more money for House Democrats because you guys endorsed a Muslim. So, fuck off, AIPAC. Take your money and go find another country to fuck with. Apparently, Venezuela is just all for invasion right now.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does. Including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the shows. So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com. D-E-F-E-N.
For some reason, you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
I want to come up with something clever to come in with, but instead, all I've got is www. Because I'm an old person. MondayInAmerica.com. I wrote a little book. I am hesitant to pitch it because, you know, of my severe imposter syndrome that I have, because since I'm not working right now in my society that we live in, I have no worth or value, and it weighs down on me. It pushes me down, makes me sad. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I did this thing while I was working, and then all of a sudden I'm not working and I have a hard time pitching it. So if you'd like to take a look, it's essays about just my opinions of America and things that happen in America. I cover old age, I cover money, I cover a lot of politics. And you know what? Overall though, yeah, I like it and I'm pretty proud of it, and I've had some pretty good compliments.
You should be. It is a great book.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's available at MondayInAmerica.com. I hope that if you guys, those of you that haven't picked up a copy, maybe do. It's pretty cheap. It's only $15. Appreciate you. I do. I haven't sold one in a couple of weeks, so I'm getting a little tense about it.
You still need to sign mine. You have not signed mine.
Okay. I'm sorry. Do you want it personalized or just my autograph?
Oh, no, I want it personalized.
Okay. Do you want it appropriate or inappropriate?
Inappropriate.
Well done. Do you have to keep that one hidden?
Okay.
So I'll give you 2 copies.
Oh, good.
Okay. But yeah, I got plenty of copies left, guys. www.mondayinamerica.com. Bye today. But wait, there's more. There's not. It's just a book. You know, if you're lucky and I can find my stickers, I'll throw a couple in for you. Otherwise, I still owe other people stickers. But we found a bunch of shit when we moved.
Yeah, we did.
That I thought was lost forever. And I was pretty happy about that. So I got my logoed poly bags back 2 logos ago, because that's how long ago I made these fucking bags. And the stickers are 2 logos ago. And I change the logo of the show every 50 episodes. So every new season gets something just a little different, you know, and this was 2 seasons ago is how it works out. MondayInAmerica.com. Marco Rubio, little Marco, sold out government informants in a deal to deport migrants to the Salvadorian prison. Rubio traded 9 MS-13 gang leaders turned U.S. government informants for access to El Salvador's infamous CECOT prison, according to a report from the Washington Post. Weeks before the U.S. deported hundreds of Venezuelan immigrants to the maximum security complex in March, Rubio told Salvadorian President Bukele, that he would hand over a list of men, despite the fact that several had agreed to become state witnesses in exchange for U.S. protection, according to officials familiar with the conversation. But if you're not white, even a guy whose last name is Rubio will sell you out to ship you out of the country.
Yep.
I'm just waiting to get rid of Rafael Cruz.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because he's Canadian.
Yeah.
You know, his dad ran away from Cuba, went to Canada, and now we got to deal with this fucker as a senator telling me what's American and what's not. You know, he's Canadian, and then he's Colombian, or Cuban. Colombian.
Then runs away to Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah, when it gets cold.
Yeah.
Well, my children wanted to go. And the fact that Donald Trump insulted his wife and he still kisses his ass.
They all do. It is insane to me.
People that say shit about you would just be cut out of my life forever. You know, if possible.
Yeah.
My ex-wife, we have kids together. I can't really get rid of her. But I don't talk to her unless it's about the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's something. But yeah, so he basically sold him out. Made a promise, broke the promise. If that is not just indicative of all things GOP, I don't know what is.
Yeah. Their word means nothing.
Their word means nothing. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Speaking of people that I disagree with almost 100%,
almost.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, back in the news, brutally warning Republicans that they're going to lose the House. The Georgia Republican accused her party of failing. Greene ramped up her criticism of GOP leadership during the government shutdown by warning the Republicans that they could lose the House if they don't pull their head out of their ass and keep their promise to decrease the cost of living. She was in the news with us a couple of weeks ago talking about the fact that hiking up health insurance prices was going to cost them seats. And here she is again saying this government shutdown is going to cost us seats. She's reaching a level of self-awareness that I find concerning.
Well, it is when she doesn't believe in like fucking common sense science.
Yeah.
So then it's like hard to take. Yeah, it's just hard to take her seriously.
Or she chases a kid who survived a mass shooting down the road to be a dick to him. I don't know if you've ever seen that video. She's chasing David Hogg down the street.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, she's just being an absolute bastard to him. And he's a kid that survived a fucking mass shooting at his high school. And he's trying to get common sense gun control. And she's just like, why do you hate America? Why are you a communist? Why are you a Marxist? Why are you a socialist? All three things that can't be the same thing at the same time. Just so you know. Look it up. Give it a Google. Say, hey, Gemini, please define communist, socialist, and Marxist. Just checking my phone, making sure that didn't trigger it. I did that the other day. I was just standing in the bathroom, getting out of the shower, and he didn't know what time it was, and my hands were still wet.
Uh-huh.
And I just said, hey, Google, what time is it? You going to do it? Are you going to do it? It's not going to do it. Worked the other day.
And it told you?
Yeah.
Well, my thing is that I have been leaving my phone. I don't know how I do it, but when it's in my hand, I'll be recording our conversations. And they're like voice to text.
Uh-oh.
And I see them all written out.
I mean, that happens for me to time to time.
Yeah. It happens to me often.
You gotta be careful of that.
I know.
You say some wacky shit.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm like, delete, delete, delete. Don't send it to my mother.
Anyway, Marjorie Taylor Greene says voters will definitely be going to the midterms looking through the lens of their bank account. She argued that healthcare, quote, should be the number one thing we're working on, end quote, predicting that it'll be one of the top issues in the 2026 midterms. Affordable Care Act health insurance subsidies are due to expire at the end of the year, and if Republicans and Democrats don't overcome their stalemate, premiums will more than double on average for over 20 million people. Rachel Maddow did a really good breakdown of how much it's going down or how much they're going to raise in each state, and it was concerning. It was very concerning, you know? A judge ruled that Representative Corey Mills, who has said that we, quote, must stop the left's attack on women, end quote, you know, by letting them have bodily autonomy, poses a risk to his ex-girlfriend, the reigning Miss United States. For years, Republican Representative Corey Mills of Florida has claimed to defend women from the alleged dangers of, quote, the left's gender agenda. That sounds like we got our shit together.
We must stand to protect women from biological males competing unfairly.
Shut up. Anyway, he wrote that on Twitter in 2022. We must stop the left's attack on women, he said. This week, a Florida judge ruled that the real danger to women was Republican Representative Corey Mills himself. On Tuesday, Circuit Judge Fred Koeberlein Jr. issued a final injunction for protection against the dating violence against Mills, 45, concluding that the second-term congressman harassed and threatened his former girlfriend, Lindsay Langston, the reigning Miss United States and a Florida Republican Party official. The order bans him from contacting her directly or indirectly and forbids him from mentioning her on social media. It remains in effect for the next 3 months, till the end of January. According to the New York Times, the court found that Langston, quote, has reasonable cause to believe she is in imminent danger of becoming the victim of another act of dating violence, end quote. The judge rejected Mills' claim that he no longer possessed intimate videos of Langston, writing that his testimony was, quote, not truthful.
Yeah, he called him out on that just blatantly.
The ruling concluded that Mills had caused, quote, substantial emotional distress, end quote, and offered no credible rebuttal to Langston's account. But if that doesn't sound like Republicans to you, I don't know what does. You know, they say one thing, they do the opposite. How many of these January 6th guys, how many fucking pastors, how many priests, how many Republican lawmakers all across the country keep getting caught with kiddie porn?
Yeah.
You know, it's fucked up. It's creepy. It's scary. It's sad. It's anger making. And then another January 6th rioter popped up and got his ass arrested for threatening to kill Hakeem Jeffries at a New York City event. I'll throw in a little side note here, if we can do that. Why would you threaten Hakeem Jeffries? He's absolutely pointless. What is it that he's doing that's caused you angst? Well, let's take a look at the article and see where we get, shall we? Pardoned by Donald Trump for his role in the January 6th Capitol insurrection, a man now faces new felony charges for threatening to assassinate House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. Christopher Moynihan, 34, was arrested Saturday in Clinton, New York, after reportedly sending a chilling text message stating his intent to eliminate Jeffries during a scheduled appearance at the Economic Club of New York. Hakeem Jeffries makes a speech in a few days in New York City. I cannot allow this terrorist to live, Moynihan wrote, according to court documents. The threat didn't end there. Even if I am hated, he must be eliminated. I will kill him for the future. The text continued. Moynihan, who had been sentenced to 21 months in federal prison for his part in the insurrection on January 6th, had his sentence commuted in January as one of Donald Trump's first moves after retaking office. Now he faces new felony charges, making a terroristic threat, which will probably also be overturned, or if he's convicted again, his sentence will be recommuted. Mm-hmm. I mean, Trump let fucking George Santos out of jail because they both ripped off veterans' nonprofits. You know?
Yeah.
Santos stole the money that was raised to save a service dog for a homeless vet.
Yeah. That guy. Serious
and
problems.
And he's out.
Serious problems.
Yeah. And he goes on Fox News and they fucking clap. And they're like, way to go. You got out of jail. Woohoo.
He's another one that has one of those faces that I just want to scratch. Just looking at him, you can just tell he's...
It's shit. Weird, though, because Santos, you know, that's a name with tan skin.
Mm-hmm.
Santos. So shouldn't Trump be trying to deport him? Maybe that's why he let him out of jail, so he can go ahead and get rid of him. He'll send ICE after him any day now. Wait. Santos is Hispanic?
What?
Get him out! Off to El Salvador. Actually, if he sent George Santos to El Salvador, that'd probably crack me the fuck up. Just a little bit. That's bad. I know that I'm tempting karma when I say shit like that, but tea. You know what I mean? Well, that's it for this show.
That's it?
Yeah, running just a little short. So what we're going to do is do more show over in Patreon. You're at patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. Every week that we record, we pop over to Patreon and do a little bit of extra content there for the Patreon family. We'd love for you to be a member of the family. It's pretty easy to join. Just go over to patreon.com/defenmedia and pick a level. Pick a level. The higher the level you pick, the nicer the thank you that I send. Wow. What do you think?
Okay.
That's about it. Everything else is pretty much all access. I'm going to build the tiers probably in 2 weeks.
Nice.
But in the meantime, this is what we've got. Anyway, Tiffany, thank you for joining me this week.
Thanks for having me.
JC is off Kirkin' his tartan. And if you don't know what that means, try and think of it in the most graphic way possible. Oh, yeah. I'm Kirkin' my tartan.
I saw him today. Very handsome. He looked good.
That's good when he gussies up, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We're going to see him again next week.
I'm looking forward to it.
Actually, this next weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. So since he doesn't listen to the show anymore, I'm done making fun of him. But in the meantime, do me a favor, everybody. Let's all do what the British lady says.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.